The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus spoke to his disciples about the end which is to come. In those days, after the time of suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about the day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Last weekend, I began a new message series, and if you've missed it, please go to the parish website, chathamcatholic.ca, and you can find the link to the homily. There are two feature articles in the bulletin this weekend. One summarizes kind of the homily from last weekend and kind of focusing us for this weekend as well. Last weekend in the homily, I talked about my golf swing. Now, I'm not a golfer, and in this picture, if you can't see, the ball is right here, and a beautiful shot down the fairway. When I hit the ball, I'm a lefty, the ball goes like this and then goes all the way across the sanctuary over by Deacon Jerry. It's not safe to stand by me when golfing. That's why I don't golf very much. But when you're going to try to fix a golf swing, you know, golf pros or coaches will kind of go back to the fundamentals of keeping your eye on the ball, making sure that the swing is smooth, that you follow through, kind of looking at the mechanics and the basic fundamentals of the swing. Just like, you know, your job or homework and different things. Sometimes if you don't understand something, you got to go back to the basics and build things up. So I gave a number of different examples, and in the church, we're coming to the end of the church's liturgical year, which is next Sunday, is the last Sunday of the church's year. We celebrate the solemnity of Christ the King. And as the weekends draw to a close of the church's year, believe it or not, in 2 weeks we start the first Sunday of Advent. That means Christmas is coming. The church reminds us of the basics and the fundamentals of Christian life in the mission of the church. As a reminder, in a sense, to go back to the basics that we've journeyed through all this liturgical year, and which we will start over again with the beginning of Advent, because the reminder is we belong in heaven. That's our goal and destiny. That's our pilgrimage. And it's our job as followers of the Lord to help others not only kind of journey into heaven kind of as we pass from this life to the kingdom, that happens, but that they experience a little bit of heaven on earth through our ministry, through our love, through our service, through our care, that we journey together. It's not about how can I get into heaven or how can I get ready for heaven. It's how we can get ready for heaven. Not just our friends or our relatives, but everyone, especially those who have not heard or experienced the love of Christ. And I've called this series Back to the Basics, the Fundamentals of Christian Life and the Mission of the Church. The mission for us as the family of parishes. Why are we here? Why do we exist? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to be organized to help people experience Jesus and journey towards heaven? In the first homily last weekend, I shared two basic fundamentals for us and the church. Place God first by following his commands. That first reading was from the first book of Kings, the widow and her son didn't have enough food, but made food for Elijah, the prophet, and then ended up having food for the rest of the time. She trusted. She risked and was obedient to Elijah, reminding us to place God first, following his commands. And the second is this, and we heard from the widow in the gospel last Sunday when Jesus talked about the treasury, and the poor widow put in two coins worth a penny. We don't even have pennies in Canada anymore. But she gave not just a small amount of money. Jesus said she gave everything, more than anyone else in the treasury put together, because she put her heart into the hands of God. Invest yourself completely to the Lord. If we're going to be disciples, fundamentals is trust God with everything we got and give him everything. And that's what I talked about last weekend. This weekend, we hear in the gospel, you know, Jesus says, be attentive to the signs, and he talks about a fig tree. Well, I was looking for signs for me here during this week, and one of them, these are a couple of bushes by the park, the garage, or the carport at Blessed Sacrament. You see, there's one that's very, very red. What is that a sign of? Fall red, and then they're going to fall off, and then some white stuff eventually starts coming down. Jesus is saying, read the signs of the times, and, you know, be prepared. Be ready. You know, it involves action. So what are other signs of the times? Those of you who can't see, I have a picture of snow shovels on sale, because I see them popping up at the different churches in our family as our custodians are getting ready. The salters are ready. And then another thing that is a real big sign that winter is coming, salt for the sidewalks. Because when you come for Christmas Mass, we want to make sure you're safe. So our custodians are getting ready for what is coming. And when the snow comes, which it will, less in Chatham than in London, I'm happy about that. From what I hear, watch, we'll have the worst snowstorm in 20 years. That we have to be prepared. We read the signs of the times, and we act. Well, we too need to read the signs of our times. And the danger is, in this gospel, we oftentimes think about the end times of this doom and gloom and disaster and destruction, and we focus on that part while forgetting the words in the gospel where Jesus says, these things will pass away. My words will not pass away. We should look forward to the end time and not be afraid of it if we're real Christians. Because the end time means Christ is coming to take us home. And no matter what happens around us, everything around us is going to crumble. That is a natural reality. People get older, buildings get older, things don't stand forever. But Jesus does. And the danger is trying to find out the date and the time when this is going to happen, when Jesus himself told the disciples, no one knows. Don't worry about that. Read the signs of the times and share the good news of the gospel so that everybody is prepared to welcome the Son of God. In the gospel, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. One of the challenges for us is to say, when Jesus is at the gates, hopefully we respond, welcome Jesus, we're ready for you. Instead of, oh please hang on, we're not ready yet. I haven't prepared. I haven't changed my life. I haven't reprioritized those things that are most important. There will be a point where it will be too late. And again, not just for ourselves, but for the sake of the world. What are the signs of the times in our world today, here in Chatham, where we can share the good news? Because we hear in the psalm, you show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's what we should be focusing in on and embracing and sharing. The major point I want to share today in this second homily of this three homily series is read the signs of the times, finding and sharing God's grace. God's love is abounding. And even in the challenges and the struggles that we embrace in our lives, some visible, some invisible, we have to look for God's grace amongst us, but then also share that grace with those around us so that everyone can experience God's light. How do we do that? Discover what needs are around us. That's where God is calling us. What are the needs around us? Pray, discern, and find out how we can help those in need. So when we find those areas within our family of parishes, within the city, and we as a family of parishes will help discern that and continue to serve, find out and then pray about saying, God, where do you want me to be? How do you want me to serve? How do you want me to share your love? And then we act in love, being Christ and discovering Christ with those in need. The fundamental part of our Christian life is to serve others. And in that encounter, we find Christ. Share your experiences of grace, inspiring others. When we serve, when we love, when we sacrifice, when we help out those in need, we have an encounter with the risen Lord. We're taught by those whom we serve, and I'm going to talk about that as I kind of wrap up my reflection today. But it's important for us to share those graces and blessings with others, because that will inspire other people to do the same. Because those experiences or those encounters of grace will never fade away, because Jesus says, my words will never fade away. Hang on to those things that never fade away. It's us by being disciples. Pope Francis wrote a letter for this World Day of the Poor. And I want to share some quotes that to wrap up today that reminds us of this sharing and discovering God's grace and serving those in need. It's a very powerful pastoral letter for us on how we as parishes, we as Christians serve. He says, talking about the poor, we do not find, or talking about Jesus, we do not find him when and where we want, but see him in the lives of the poor, in their sufferings and needs, in the often inhuman conditions in which they are forced to live. The Pope is saying, you want to find Jesus, serve those in need. And the poor are those who are suffering or don't have all the material things, but it's also those who are lost, forgotten, ignored. First and foremost, if we're going to share and serve to discover Christ, when we encounter those in need, we encounter Jesus alive in the hearts of those in need. and we will learn from them and be blessed by them. He says, the poor are not people outside our communities, but brothers and sisters whose sufferings we should share. So Pope Francis is saying, we have to be in solidarity with those who are in need. They're not outside of our communities, they're within, they're part of our family. Serving the poor is not giving some extra food from our table to those in need. It's making room at the table for them to join us. And whether that's spending time with people, giving them a phone call, a visit, those in our nursing homes, in hospitals, the amazing outreach that does happen in our family of parishes, goes on to say, in an effort to alleviate their difficulties and marginalization, restore their lost dignity, ensure their necessary social inclusion. Not only do we encounter Jesus by serving those in need, we know that they're part of our family. We need to restore the grace and the dignity. And this is the mission, the heart of what we do as parishes, to bring life to those who feel abandoned or ignored. And then the Pope talks about the conversions that we need. We need to change our hearts. He goes on to say this near the end of the document. This conversion consists primarily in opening our hearts to recognizing the many different forms of poverty and manifesting the kingdom of God through a lifestyle consistent with the faith we profess. What he's saying there is the conversion for us is to re-embrace the gospel life we're called to live. It's not about just coming to Mass on Sunday. In fact, it's necessary to come to Mass on Sunday for the very fact of staying on course, to be nourished and fed and be strengthened and filled with God's grace. But the rest of the week is just as important. When we leave here filled up with God's grace, we're called to then give it away to those around us, to those who are in need, to welcome them at the table, to restore their dignity, to know that they are loved not only by God, but by us. Often the poor are viewed as persons apart, as a category in need of specific charitable services. Sometimes it becomes more of a transaction. I've done something for the poor, and we kind of move on. That's not the Christian life. That's not the fundamental basics of the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is, Lord, look at what I've got and who I am. Everything I have is to help those in need, so that everyone is on this pilgrimage together as one family to the kingdom of God. We continue in our Mass, reflecting and praying about going back to the basics. What's at the heart of the mission of our parishes and our lives? And if we discover that they're not at the heart of what the gospel is, we then have to change what we're doing. To reach out, to serve, to be a shining light. And I conclude with this last quote from Pope Francis in his message. We cannot wait for the poor to knock on our door. We need urgently to reach them in their homes, in hospitals and nursing homes, on the streets and in the dark corners where they sometimes hide, in shelters and reception centers. It is important to understand how they feel, what they are experiencing, and what their hearts desire. May the Lord strengthen us in the gift of the Eucharist today, and that we re-embrace this call of back to the basics, that the mission of the Church is to be that light in those corners of darkness, is to make sure that there is room for everyone at our table, that we are marching together as one family, the kingdom of God.